Guidance in Shikantaza, the absolute practice of just sitting. Zazen does not prefer success over failure, or enlightenment over delusion. If we are enlightened, we sit still in the middle of enlightenment with no preference for it. If we are deluded, we sit still in the middle of delusion with no aversion to it. This is the Buddha's Zazen. Zazen practice is selfless. The goal of Zazen is the liberation of all living beings from suffering. But the goal is exactly the same as the practice. In realizing this goal, one becomes free of self-concern and personal gain. And becoming free of self-concern and personal gain actualizes the goal. The philosophy, if you will, of Zen can sound pretty complicated when you listen to it. And that's because it's not really a philosophy, it's a practice. I mean, if I tried to put into words how to breathe, you would probably have no idea what I was talking about. But the actual process of breathing is no problem. Sitting in our practice together here, we probably, many of us, come with some goal, some hope. I hope that that I feel better. I hope that I can attain enlightenment, or that I can just be at peace. And I don't think we really have to fight with the fact that we show up with these goals. It's natural that we live our lives this way. We are goal-oriented people. We have to eat, feed ourselves. We have to get places and do things. And so we're quite conditioned to living with all kinds of goals in mind. But the goal of Zazen is to save all beings. And this is a goal that expands our sense of purpose in quite a profound way. When we first sit, we may imagine that our goal is to become peaceful and may find that that is actually quite difficult. Because life seems to keep happening. We may have beautiful moments of peace, and certainly lovely when they come about, and enjoy them. But then, you know, something happens. Life happens. And we get sick. Someone we love gets sick. We lose someone. Whatever it may be. And there we are, thrown again. The Four Noble Truths all are true simultaneously. So even as we find that there are ways to alleviate suffering, life includes suffering. So as we sit, we encounter ourselves. We encounter the unfolding of our hearts and of our lives and of the life of the world. From which we are not separate. So we can't help but feel pain or trouble or frustration, anxiety, all these different things that we feel in life just come up while we're sitting on the cushion. Sadness, whatever it may be. That's just part of our experience as human beings. And so there is some shift that this reading points to in the purpose of our sitting. We sit for some time and perhaps we realize, you know, hard as I try, I don't seem to have all that much control over what thoughts arise or what concerns I have, fears, anxieties, emotional life, we begin to see that all these things come and go, like the weather. And that we don't have an option, really, much of the time. Some of the time we do, and of course when we do, we can just choose. And a lot of the time we don't. And of course, what brings us here is the times when we don't have an option. There's something that we, for some reason, can't escape. And so we have great book titles. Welcome to the Path of No Escape. And our work here is not about escape. It's not about repression. It's not about avoidance. We come here and we allow. We let the broken heart break. We let it be. And in its own way, this is a relief. We come here and we save all beings, including our broken heart. And the way we do it is by letting it break. Our broken heart just wants us to let it be, to bear witness, to give it some attention, some love, some compassion. To be held in the warm embrace of our attention. How many times do we seek that? Perhaps something happens in your life, and isn't it such a comfort when you can finally, truly open up about it and tell someone? It's like our heart is just asking us, please let me just tell you what's here. To imagine that we are saving all beings by trying to cut off these feelings of the heart, that is not going to work. So practice includes allowing whatever arises to be here. And this is how we save all beings. Through this loving, compassionate, bearing witness to what is. This notion that we should prefer enlightenment. Well, what happens is that we imagine that enlightenment is something other than what we are. If I imagine that enlightenment does not include my anxiety or struggle, then my hope is to just get rid of things. And we can't find ourselves sitting on the cushion in a battle with ourselves, in a battle with things as they are. And with this underlying critique that somehow we are not good enough, that we can't be it. I must not be enlightened because I have thoughts, because I have goals, because I wish the world were different, because my heart is broken. I must not be enlightened. And that very judgment separates us from ourselves. That very judgment is the creation of a kind of gap. What we actually find as we sit is that it is possible to be intimate with whatever arises. That it is possible to be intimate with our mind. That it is possible to be intimate with the heart. To not try to turn away, run away, separate. So there's a way that practice is a kind of surrender. A kind of allowing. And in this allowing, we find a real sweetness. The feeling we sometimes get when we've been holding back our tears all day long and finally we have a good cry.
It's all okay.
And what's interesting is that what makes it okay is the nature of reality itself. And this is the great surprise that we find in practice. The nature of our suffering is enlightenment. Quite a paradox. Because all things that arise are without fixed essence. There's no way to explain this. We might say everything is a bit like a dream. Arising and passing away, again and again, just endlessly. The nature of life. Clouds floating through the sky. And as we practice and find that we can be with things as they are, our hearts open. We find that we are quite intimate with the moment. The thing that was preventing us from being intimate might have been our own judgments of our own experience and our own attempt to distance ourselves. But we pass through by simply allowing what is here to be here and by bearing witness to it openly. Suddenly everything and everyone is present. Nothing to avoid. And we find that all beings are present with us. And this is how we save all beings. Being present with all beings in our hearts. It's quite an interesting thing when we open in this way to just what is here without hope of controlling the content. But just by allowing it to be here. It's a strange kind of sweet surrender where everything emerges. So we find that in this practice, this now goalless practice, in the sense of not trying to change the content of our experience, that everything is here. Everything we seek already present. The very delusion we were trying to escape is the content of our enlightenment. They are not two. There are really no separate beings to save. Similar to what we find when we bear witness to our own experience, all beings are evolving, are without fixed essence. There's just this, and we can't pin it down. Here I'm entering into a place where language fails me. What we find when we really open up is nothing at all. Just this. Something quite beyond our capacity to conceive or present in language. And all beings are already saved because everything is just itself. And so we have these very perplexing lines. The goal of Zazen is the liberation of all living beings from suffering, but the goal is exactly the same as the practice. In realizing this goal, one becomes free of self-concern and personal gain. And becoming free of self-concern and personal gain actualizes the goal of saving all beings. So, to return where we began, no need to prefer success over failure. Go ahead and fail. Fail to become enlightened. Fail to change the content of your experience, of your mind, of your heart. And allow that path of failure to be awakening. There is no gap. This is the Buddha's sitting.